for life.
अगला आदमी गुस्से में तो एक्सेप्टेंस के टाइम पे आप कितना भी समझाओ थोड़ी समझेगा वो।
हमारी वाइब्रेशन अगर ठीक रेडिएट हो जाएगी,
ये
हमारी स्थिति अगर ठीक होगी तो हमारा बोलने का तरीका भी कैसा होगा,
इसको कैसे ठीक रखें।
सी, रेजिस्टेंस की एनर्जी जब जाती है, सपोज आई रेजिस्ट व्हाट यू आर डूइंग अंदर, ये क्यों है क्यों है क्यों है, एंड देन आई से समथिंग टू यू, तो आपका अहंकार जो है वो डिफेंसिव पे आ जाएगा, आप तुरंत डिनाई करेंगे उस बात को। अगर मैं आपको रेजिस्ट करूं, फिर मैं जो राय दूंगी आप उसको रेजिस्ट करेंगे।
देखिए हमारी नई श्रृंखला बीइंग शक्ति अवेकनिंग विद ब्रह्मा कुमारीज में 11 जून से प्रतिदिन दोपहर 2:30 बजे सिर्फ पीस ऑफ माइंड चैनल पर।
Hello and welcome to Virtues for Life. I am Sister Denise and this program is a conversation between Brahma Kumars and Kumaris about virtues. Virtues, values, qualities and powers, these are the elements that determine who we truly are as individuals and the contribution that we make to life in this world. The laws of spirituality have explained to us that if we really want to offer positive change in this world, if we want to be a catalyst for change in the world and make the world a better place, then it is really through individual personal change that we can accomplish this. Today at Godlywood Studio, I have with me Neville Hodgkinson. Welcome to Virtues for Life. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for inviting me, Denise.
And today we are going to talk about detachment. Neville Hodgkinson is a writer and journalist. He has been on Fleet Street for many years. He was the medical and science correspondent for the Sunday Times in London. For about 32 years he has been practicing Raj Yoga meditation and doing spiritual service through his writing. He is also the chairperson of the Janki Foundation, which is a UK-based charity for bringing together spiritual values and the medical profession. So today we're going to talk about detachment. This is something that interests you. Tell us a little bit about why detachment is so important for you.
I think it's because I have had quite a lot of misunderstandings about it, and gradually I feel as if I've understood it much better. And as in most of life, when you can overcome some misunderstandings, it's so liberating. It makes your life much better. And detachment to me originally sounded like something rather cold. And when I heard this word, when I began my own spiritual journey, I felt, hang on, I don't want to become a better person at the expense of becoming cold and detached. And that was a misunderstanding.
So what is the right understanding?
That detachment is liberating in the sense that it really liberates you to become a more loving person. But the love that frees, not a love that binds, either you or the other.
So attachment, other words for attachment?
Attachment, dependency is one, loss of freedom, addiction, all of these kind of things.
So detachment really means freedom.
Yes, exactly. And that's quite often not fully understood, because people sometimes go for freedom in the wrong way. They think that just by cutting off that will give them freedom. But you have to go through rather than just cut off, in my view and in my experience.
So the only way out is through.
Yeah, you could put it that way.
Now, there's also this word dissociation. Mm-hmm. You know, because if you look at, you know, I often take a look at the description of these words in the dictionary, and sometimes we can distinguish detachment as a positive, disconnection and dissociation being this cutting off that,
right.
that really doesn't
that's,
work.
That's good, yes, that's helpful. I like that.
How have you been able to shift through your understanding? What sort of process did you have to go through to arrive at this positive sense of detachment?
In the spiritual journey with the Brahma Kumaris that I've undertaken over these years, it's essentially a question of becoming fulfilled through your relationship with the divine, through yoga and an understanding that allows you to have yoga. You are drawing on the power that's in God to make yourself more full.
So how do you describe and define yoga? What is yoga?
Yoga for me is being reintroduced to the sweetness of a relationship with a supreme parent. This is an understanding that I have, that there's a source, however one speaks of it, there's a sense that there's a power source, like a big battery.
Is it a something or a someone?
It's a someone, but how much of a person it is, or how much of a battery source you regard it, is up to the individual.
What about you?
For me, the understanding has developed in a more and more personal way over the years. Mm. When I first was introduced to the Brahma Kumaris, I felt this sense of this source, and I understood my yoga was with something fairly ill-defined. I met Brahma Kumaris, I felt that these people have a contentment and a love and a positivity and altruism that is something that is missing in my life, and I want more of that in myself. And I didn't really understand quite how they had that, but I picked up that they did have it, and they said they got it from God. But I didn't really understand God as a person or as a thing or anything, because I had a very materialistic outlook at that time.
So were you an atheist?
Yes.
Mm. You were an atheist?
Oh yes, yes. Very proud of it too. I felt that religion had done so much harm, fighting with each other, saying, I'm going to invade your country on God's name, I'm going to persecute you because you're in some gender minority or your sexual inclinations are this or that, you know, all of these things done in the name of God, which just seemed to me to be justifying cruelty and selfishness.
Okay, so now how did you go from being an atheist to, what shall I say, a theist, agnostic, what would you call yourself?
Now?
Yeah.
I would say that I'm a yogi, in a sense, that I love this feeling of connectedness and power that I get when I align with this deeper source of truth, as I understand it.
So to you, God is a mind or a heart or what?
Yes, a mind and a heart. God is a source, is a word that I love using. It's a little bit more in keeping with my old understanding, which had a more scientific flavour to it. But it's a source whom I love, and I feel it's a source that although it doesn't have a human form, it's not a man or a woman.
You're still using the word it, so it's still a thing.
Yes, in a sense. Yes,
okay.
Yes. Yeah.
And when we're talking about detachment, how is deep connection with God something that enables you to be detached?
Well, as I understand it now, and again, this does come from my experience, previously, when I had no sense of this connection to it or she or he or God, I became very dependent for my happiness and strength on things that were outside of me. I needed to prove myself in my work. I needed my close relationships. There was a neediness, a taking.
So this is the attachment. You know, you get attached to people, to places, to things, to position, to accomplishments,
possessions. Yes, all of those things. I needed them so much in order to have a sense that I existed.
Okay, now in your, do you get attached to God, or what is the right word?
You love God as you learn more and more about God. And that love somehow gives you the strength to really reorganize internally. I don't think you can just know God. I think you really have to love God. Otherwise, just as knowledge, it doesn't really make the change inside.
So what's the thing? Is it the heart?
Yes, it's the heart primarily. Sometimes I've heard this spiritual journey being called an education for the heart. I like that very much.
Yeah, that's nice. So what's the heart?
Well, there's a physical heart, but it, of course, and the scientists are learning more and more about the enormous radiant power of the heart, that the heart seems to actually have a physical connection with this vibrational universe that we live in, possibly more than the brain. The brain is useful, but the heart actually has a much wider field around it than the brain. So when your heart opens, that is when your heart is loving and secure instead of needing and constrained, it kind of opens itself to this frequency, this vibrational strength that comes from God.
So
it's very real. It's not imaginary. It's really real connection.
Yeah. So is this attachment with God?
Yeah, you could call it attachment.
Or resonance?
I prefer love.
Okay.
Or resonance. Yes, it's like it's as if God has a frequency. And because he is totally giving, because his frequency is just endlessly pouring out from him, all we have to do is attune to that frequency to receive. And then when we attune to that frequency, it's as if the ship of our life very naturally and easily starts changing direction.
So are you saying that when we're attached to or dependent on people, places and things, then we can't enjoy this frequency of God?
That's exactly, because when we're attached to people, places and things and possessions and so forth, they're in a state of flux because they're external to us, they're part of the physical world, which changes constantly. And when that changes and we're attached to it, we hurt, and the disturbance caused in our psyche means we can't attune to this beautiful vibrational frequency that comes from God.
So now, to let go of all of that stuff, physical stuff, is that scary?
Yes, it is. When I first learned about this and felt the love of the experience of connecting to God, because even though I didn't understand it, I felt it. But I said to myself, this is an impossible love. I felt that. That voice came in my head, this is an impossible love. I felt that so strongly. Because somehow I knew that in order to pursue this, I was going to have to let go of an awful lot that I didn't want to let go of.
And in your journey, have you been letting go of those things? Or what are you still holding on to, do you think?
Well, an enormous amount has gone. One of the things that I held on to for a long time was partly arose from my misunderstanding about the role of detachment in the spiritual journey. I felt that whatever happened, I did not want my journey towards God and towards the fulfillment that comes from this relationship with God, I did not want that to cause me to cause sorrow to those that I was close to, my wife, my children. I was really concerned that that shouldn't happen.
So you think that going to God means excluding others, or is there a way of having both?
That's what my journey's been all about. The thing is that you do have to let go of that over-identification with your relationships, because otherwise it will constantly prevent you from drawing power from God. But when you do it right, and this has been taken me a long time to work with this, but it really is as if I'm finding a kind of jackpot now of power, in my relationships, that when you get it right, the power that you're receiving from God allows you to be so much nicer a person with those that you have responsibility towards, that it's a much more beautiful relationship. And because it's an outflow, if you're getting it right, it's like the flow, the power's coming from God, it's entering your heart, and your heart gives, and others feel, this is lovely, this is I like Neville like this, rather than that dependent, greedy, right, selfish Neville that I knew before.
Now, Daddy Yankee is always talking to us in very simple terms. He says, you know, me, that's the ego, mm-hmm, mine, that's what I'm attached to.
Yes.
Now we have to go to a different I and a different mind.
Right.
Have you been doing that?
Yes, definitely. That's what's been happening. But I think perhaps I took quite a long time to do this properly, partly because maybe in the past, perhaps I've had some past incarnation where I got it wrong. I thought I'd found God. I followed instructions to forget this, my relationships, and perhaps caused hurt through doing it that way. And then I found that I didn't really have God. And so in some way, when I came across this, I was really anxious not to cause that problem. And so I've done it kind of a bit slowly, I think, probably, compared with how it might have been if I didn't have that concern. Mm-hmm. But in the end, I got there, and I've really understood that when you really let go, it doesn't mean that you're not going to love. It means that you'll love more. That's the beauty of it.
So there's some fear inside, fear of distressing people.
Yes, there was, yes.
Is this because of our moral upbringing?
Yes, definitely, that was a part of it.
How is our moral upbringing causing us to go down the wrong track?
Sometimes we live by a kind of social conditioning that is in our brain and that tells us to behave in certain ways, but which is actually quite limited. So, for example, I realized a year or so back that I had a kind of family man identity that I was very reluctant to let go of. This was also a part of the ego, actually. I was defining myself as a good family man. And what this meant was that when I was with my wife, or my ex-wife, but a very good friend, or with my children, my sons and their children, the grandchildren, when I was with them, there was that element of holding back, because I was wanting to be a good dad or a good grandpa, and that meant that I was trying to take something. And since I recognized that this family man identity was still present, and that it was part of the ego, and I almost consciously removed it from my psyche, it became very liberating. So that love could flow rather than making demands on
us. So it's really the ego that stops the love flowing.
Exactly.
And the difficulty is to identify the ego.
Yes, because some of it seems so natural and so socially conditioned and so expected of you, if you like. But actually, this family man identity, if it's coming from the ego, it's a taking rather than a giving, and that means that you will hurt others, actually.
So what I'm detecting from what you're saying is there's a little bit of a disconnect between what you understand by, maybe you can say, pure spirituality and perhaps pseudo-spirituality, or the ideas of spirituality that society has created, but which may be in fact a little erroneous.
Yes, I think that's right. And I think I suffered from that error for quite a long time, and I feel so grateful finally to have learned about that error, that this family man identity was a mistake. It's not wrong to love your family, but it should, if it's a true love, it won't make demands in that way.
Now, if you have a society, we do have a society which really believes in certain values, mm-hmm, family values, this family man identity, mm, that you're talking about. Now, if we introduce a different set of values, how are you going to work through that? How is it going to be resolved from people who may be very dedicated to those values which you're now saying may not be so accurate or so right as we thought?
That's right. I think the thing to do is to acknowledge that those values have had their value, that it's better to be concerned to be a good family man than not to be concerned, but to see that really spirituality, if you divinize these values, it makes it that much more beautiful and wholesome, rather than actually taking you away from being able to love. It allows you to love more fully. That's such an important lesson for me, and I think many others, perhaps if they get a taste of the beauty of this godly love, then and see that to make that a priority in their life will actually become of great value to those that they love and that those that they feel responsible for, rather than that it will take them away from them. That's a really important realization.
So it's a very, very subtle thing. We're talking about having the full spectrum of spiritual qualities, but not getting into negative emotions, which are maybe connected with attachment, the root attachment.
Yes. There's a saying that a poem, I think it's by William Blake, that includes some lines that I think express this very well. He who bends to himself a joy doth the winged life destroy. You know, like grabbing a butterfly.
Yeah.
You destroyed it.
Yes.
But he who kisses the joy as it flies lives in eternity's sunrise. And I love this way of living.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you can't kiss the joy, but you mustn't bind it to yourself, you know?
Yeah.
So if you can live like that, then the people that you live with, the work that you do, the possessions that you have, you value them, you appreciate them, but you recognize that they're here today, gone tomorrow, and then you're not going to be destroyed if they're taken away from you by death or illness or fate.
But that means a very special kind of attitude, doesn't it? An attitude of not grabbing hold of things.
Yes.
Because our whole society, material-based society, is you have to have something in
yes.
your hands
yes, exactly.
in order to be happy.
Yes.
And you're saying totally the opposite.
It is actually, yes, it is saying the opposite. And it's the opposite of how I used to live. For my first 37 years of my life, I was trying to grab position, possessions, people. I was trying to define myself through them.
Do you think there is a danger in when a person gets into spiritual life, because there's always what we use this expression Maya, huh?
Mm-hmm.
The illusions. So do you think there's a danger of just shifting from, you know, the material, the visibly material way, and then maybe bringing in those things into the spiritual life, so you're still caught by grabbing onto things?
I think it can, in the sense of you could start to develop an ego of your spiritual identity. You know, like you might want to think of yourself as being a very good BK, for example, and be attached to the idea of being a very good BK.
And that would then still be a level of ego.
Exactly, yes.
So what does it really look like to be completely free and detached and loving and like that?
It looks like constant contentment.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be it. You would really be so free. It's not that you would be like some robot without feeling. You would prefer certain things to happen. You would kiss the joy as it when it comes, and you might say goodbye as it goes, you know, with a certain tear in your eye perhaps, but there wouldn't be this dramatic wrenching of your being, you know, when things come and go in the same way, when you live with that givingness rather than the dependency and neediness.
So in that way you'd be able to flex with situations and you really wouldn't be caught up in suffering.
That's right, yes. Yeah. So you'd be able to move through life in a way that would be detached, but it would also be loving. And that is such a wonderful goal, and I didn't understand that to begin with. I thought detached meant cold and distant, but it doesn't. It means free to love.
So I think what you're saying is we need to be really patient to be able to make that shift, because you were saying it's really the total opposite. And in order to actually arrive at the opposite of where we started from, we have to go slowly, slowly.
Well, that's been my experience. And I've also seen some who have, I think, jumped into it too quickly, in the sense that they've broken from their past, thinking that they can just leave it behind. And then there have been occasions where I've seen that some have succeeded with that, but some I've seen that it's as if they'd forced their journey, and then even years on, there's sadness that they broke rather than went through those circumstances, rather than learnt the lessons really deeply.
So we have to be intelligent, patient, and move through our journey at a proper pace.
At a proper pace, and in situ. I rather like this expression. You know, it means on site kind of thing.
Yes,
you know, we've created our circumstances. Just to sort of think that you could just break from them and finish them, occasionally that can happen if your role is such. But for the most of us, those tailor-made circumstances that we made through our own actions in the past, they hold the best lessons for us to learn what we need to change internally. So that's
great.
Why it's so important to stay with them.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. So thank you, Neville. We're coming to the end of our time here. So thank you very much for your insights on detachment. Detachment is a very tricky word, really. It's very much part of the spiritual vocabulary, but that beautiful balance of love and detachment, getting everything right, the middle way, I think this is really what we are looking at here today. So I'd like to thank you very much for being on the program today. And let us ponder for a moment on this quality, this virtue of detachment, the really letting go of this need to hold on to things in order to feel all right. Just practice for a moment being absolutely in your own peace, with that pure spirit that you are, the heart that you are, and just feel that state of freedom. So thank you very much to the audience for being with us today. This has been Virtues for Life. Om Shanti.